I had the ability to be a neurosurgeon, I'd go into medical school. May it please the court. The executive director of the Port Authority testified that the purpose, not a purpose, but the purpose of the taking in question was economic development. Section 523271 prohibits a taking solely for economic development. So the issue this morning is whether the trial court can simply redefine the elements of economic growth as promoting private investment, improving river commerce, and improving transportation facilities, and thereby escape the statutory ban. Those labels are nothing more than the elements of economic development, and they do not support an evasion of the statute. Now, all of the evidence before the respondent was that this was solely a taking for economic development. The statutory purpose of the Port Authority is to encourage economic development and higher employment. To carry out that statutory mission, the Port Authority attempts to attract industry. It wants to have a rail, it hopes that as a result of this taking, private entities will build a rail line, and the rail line will promote growth in jobs and in commerce. The lease negotiations in question over the parcel are intended to improve river commerce. The Port Authority acts like a developer, a private developer, to prepare the site and then lease it to the private entity that will build a tank farm on it. And again, and this is the capstone, this is a direct quote, Your Honor, question. The public purpose under which you are condemning the Lamberts property is for economic development, is it not? Answer, yes. So, the trial court simply was not free to disregard that uncontradicted evidence, all of which comes from the executive director of the Port Authority himself.
Isn't the trial court always permitted to believe all part or none of the testimony of any witness or any evidence?
To be honest, Judge Fisher, the cases are in disarray on that. There are cases that say that, but there are other cases, we cited them in our brief, that say that the trial court is not free to disregard uncontradicted testimony.
Are all those cases before this court's decision in White versus Director of Revenue?
I believe they are.
So didn't this court's decision in White versus Director of Revenue clean up that mess and put trial judges, just like we do with jurors when they're in their fact-finder role, with the understanding that they might believe part of some witness's testimony but find other parts not credible?
But when you're talking about admissions against interest by the executive director of the Port Authority, I don't think that rule applies. Those are admissions against interest. When he says the purpose is economic development and there's no other evidence on the topic, it seems to me that the trial court has to acknowledge that. Moreover, if you allow this kind of redefinition, saying, well, it's not economic development, it's promoting private investment and improving river commerce. If you allow that dodge to work, you have effectively repealed the statute, because everything can be redefined as something other than what it plainly is, and that's economic development.
Isn't that where we get back to what your point really is that the trial court misapplied the law, not necessarily didn't find the facts in accordance with the testimony?
The facts are uncontested, Judge Fisher. The trial court misapplied the law by finding that, you know, what is plainly economic development is really just improving river commerce. That's a complete misapplication of the statute to the uncontested facts of the case. And that's particularly important when you look to the legislative background, 523271. It was plainly a reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Kelo that says a taking for purely economic development doesn't violate the 14th Amendment or the 5th Amendment. Well, that's fine as far as federal constitutional law is concerned. There was an enormous backlash against that decision, and a number of states, including Missouri, passed statutes to see that sort of thing could not happen in Missouri. Now, at least as of yesterday, no court had construed 523271. But you touched on a similar issue in the Centene case, which was the Clayton Blighting case. And there, the city attempted to defend the taking on the basis of all the jobs that would be created by the development that was supposed to go on. And you said, a focus on jobs, that's a focus on benefit, it doesn't mean the same thing as blight. The clear implication of Centene is that a higher and better use of the property doesn't justify a finding of blight. And if it doesn't justify a finding of blight, it certainly can't justify a finding that economic development is in the public interest when the legislature has plainly said that's not enough.
And, of course, we don't have any blight here. You both agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone agrees with that.
Tell me the distinction between the government has the authority to condemn land to build highways.
Correct.
What's the difference between, you know, transportation on highway and transportation on riverways?
They do not propose to condemn this property in order to put a canal through or to put a railroad on top of it. The idea is, and it's a very important point, I'm glad you asked about it. The idea is that if they condemn our property, this unknown private corporation will build a tank farm on that property, and then it and some other prospective tenants will come together to build a railroad track on other property other than the property that is proposed to be condemned. But the property that is to be condemned won't be used for a barge canal. It won't be used for a railroad track. It's going to be used for the private benefit of the corporation.
So if the condemnation were of land to build this railroad track, that would be a different fact situation?
That would be a different situation, but that is emphatically not the situation we have here. The railroad, if it is built at all, and that's pie in the sky, but if it is built at all, it will be built on property other than the property that is to be condemned. The property to be condemned will be used for a tank farm. And that leads directly to the second point I want to make, which is that this is a taking for the private benefit of a private corporation and not public benefit. Now, Article 1, Section 28 of the Constitution says that you are to make the public-private determination in a takings context de novo, and you are not to give any deference to that to the court authority. That is a much more stringent standard of review than you find when we're talking about uses of public credit or public funds for private benefits. There, the standard is arbitrary and capricious. But even under that lower arbitrary and capricious standard, the benefit to the public has to be, quote, direct and immediate, close quote, and it cannot be, quote, collateral, remote, or consequential. Now, if that is the test under the arbitrary and capricious standard for public credit, it certainly has to apply to the de novo standard you are required to apply in the context of takings. And it defeats the taking. Because, as I said, this property is not being condemned in order to make a railroad on it. It is being condemned in the hope that after the tank farm is erected, some private parties will get together and build a railroad on some other pieces of property.
Counsel, is that an argument that this land really isn't necessary to further the purpose of the transportation, of the Port Authority's transportation goals?
It's not necessary in order to further the purpose of building the railroad.
And what's our standard of review on the question of necessity?
The standard of review on necessity?
Yeah, as an element.
Necessity is an element, I think, is arbitrary and capricious. But whether the taking is for public versus private, that is a de novo standard, and that's what we're arguing about.
But if they've decided that this is necessary to further their transportation purpose, do we have the authority to look behind that finding, or the Port Authority's conclusion with respect to that need?
If they were taking the property in order to build a railroad track on it, we wouldn't be here, okay? What they are hoping, and it is nothing more than a hope, is that these private entities that they hope to attract will themselves voluntarily build the railroad. So the Port Authority isn't even going to be constructing the railroad, let alone paying for it. It's not a question of necessity. It's a question of whether it's private versus public. And the only benefit to the taking of this land is the private corporation, which is going to lease the land and then will erect and own and operate a tank farm on that property.
So why would the Port Authority want to accomplish this then? What public benefit do they think is there?
Economic development, which is precisely what, you know, the statute says isn't workable. Now, you know, no member of the public is going to have access to this tank farm. No member of the public has a right to use this tank farm. The only entity that has a right to use and benefit from the tank farm is the unknown private corporation, and that is a private entity. The benefit here, and I freely concede that economic development could be conceded as a public benefit, but that benefit is not direct. It is a consequence of the taking of the property and the use that is hoped to be put in. It is not direct, and that's what the law requires. Now, The respondent's only argument here really is the Hahn case out of the city of Kansas City Airport, and I think the case is readily distinguishable. For one thing, there's a specific legislative finding that all property acquired by an airport is for a public purpose, and the court in the Hahn case said, well, that's not controlling. It is certainly relevant. There is no similar finding here. Number two. The benefit to the airport was direct. The tax money that it would generate would defray the expense of operating the airport. That's not the case here. And number three, and this brings us full circle, Hahn predated the enactment of the statute by 8 years. If you read the opinion in Hahn, the thrust of the opinion there was that this is desirable because it leads to economic development. Fine. But 523.271 says economic development alone isn't enough to justify a taking. And that's all we have here, the uncontested admissions of the director, the executive director of the Port Authority. This is a taking for economic development. The statute prohibits it, and so does Article 1, Section 28, because it benefits the private corporation.
The purpose of the Port Authority is, I believe you started out to say, economic development.
Economic development and increase in jobs. That's the statutory purpose.
And you say increase in jobs is really economic development with a different hat.
I'm saying that 523.271 defines economic development to include an increase in employment.
So under your rationale, then, the Port Authority can't take any land anywhere because the only thing it can do is serve its purposes of economic development, and the statute says that's unconstitutional or not permitted.
The statute says that it is solely for economic development is not permitted. The Port Authority would certainly be permitted to condemn property in order to build a barge canal or in order to build a railroad. Consequence of that might well be economic development, but the primary purpose of it would be, you know, taking the land to put up a transportation facility. But as I have repeatedly said, that's not how this thing is supposed to work. The land that is being taken is going to be used for a tank farm. The railroad, if it exists at all, will be built on different land. They're two fundamentally different operations. If you allow this taking to proceed, you have effectively repealed 523.271, and the legislature might as well have stayed home. You have to give meaning to the statute. If the statute doesn't apply to this taking, it can't apply to any taking. I thank the court. If there are no further questions, I think I'm out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May it please the court. I'll readily concede that if Mr. Arnold's position were correct, that the only purpose of this condemnation was to build a tank farm to lease to a private entity, we wouldn't be taking up the court's time today. But that's simply not the case in the case at bar. The Southeast Missouri Regional Port Authority is a port with limited land, and as a result, it focuses on two aspects. One is the traditional developer role of leasing land to tenants. The other is working with its short line railroad that connects to two common carriers and developing transportation opportunities for businesses and residents in the area. What the port needs to further those facilities is a loop track. And a loop track is simply a track that can handle cars or trains of 100 cars or more. Now, the advantage to having those facilities is pretty straightforward. It allows a 100-car train with one shipper and one receiver to come into the port at drastically lower freight rates. That benefits not only the existing tenants in the port, but it benefits consumers of the products that are shipped at lower freight rates. It benefits.
Mr. Arnold notes that this is not condemnation for the purpose of the loop train, but for the purpose of the tank farm.
This particular parcel, and I think that's where Mr. Overby got sidetracked, this particular parcel is being taken for a tank farm. This is not part of the rail facility. But I would argue to this court that they're part and parcel of the same project. This is not a situation where, as Mr. Arnold pointed out in his brief, that if you build it, they will come. If the court looks at the record before the trial court, The port has a lease subject to acquiring this parcel with a prospective tenant to erect a tank farm to hold bulk liquid commodities. There are other entities that will use this site for dry commodities and other bulk commodities. Each of those entities, as indicated in the evidence, has indicated to the port that they'll build the loop track, which is a multi-million dollar project.
But this contract does not require it. The primary purpose is not the loop track, and this property is just part of an overall development of a secondary park.
I would argue to this court that, notwithstanding Mr. Overby's statement, from my perspective, the primary purpose is to build a multi-million dollar loop track to handle unit
tracks. So the primary purpose of
not this parcel, okay.
But that's all. But, I mean, I understand your argument, but what's on appeal here is this parcel, right? And you're asking us to look at that in the context of perhaps other parcels. They'll get together. Things contingently may happen in the future in determining whether this is for economic development or a public purpose any contract committing anyone to this public purpose.
My point, Your Honor, is that subject to acquiring this parcel, there is a contract in place that would require construction of the loop track by the prospective tenant. And I suppose I should explain the secrecy a little bit here. This is a very competitive business with ports, and we're going to get a facility that's a multi-million dollar facility. Obviously, we were reluctant to disclose the name of our prospective tenant because of the competitive situation. If these proceedings slowed that tenant in our port, other ports might recruit them. But I would point out to the court that there is no reason for the tank farm that would hold the capacity of a unit train unless there are rail facilities to handle that unit train. Conversely, there's no need for a loop track unless there are storage facilities to hold the capacity of that.
What about the admission by the Port Authority that the purpose of this is economic development? Which is a good purpose, but the statute just says it can't be the primary purpose of conservation.
Well, Your Honor, I'm going to differ with you there. The statute, 523.271, says solely for economic development, not primarily for economic development, but solely for economic development.
What other development is involved here besides economic development, jobs or economic development, taxes or economic development? What other purpose besides economic development?
Your Honor, obviously the statute, as you correctly point out, defines economic development as increased tax base, tax revenues, employment, and general economic health. I would suggest to the court that this project improves rail facilities that would be available to shippers and receivers. We have a public dock. Anybody could use that.
But can we rely on secret contracts that are not in the record to make that determination?
Well, I think it is in the record. There is not a name. There is not an amount. Candidly, we're not able to finalize that because we don't know what the cost of this land might ultimately be, which would be an element of that tenant's rent. So we're not able to finalize the contract. But as indicated in the evidence, and it's undisputed, is that there is a definite commitment there by multiple tenants to provide the funds to build the loop track.
Counsel, did the Port Authority make a finding that this land and the tank farm that would be built on it is necessary to ultimately building the loop track?
Is there a specific legislative finding in the port's records? And I would say in all candor, no.
Is that implicit in anything they did find?
Well, there was an enabling resolution for financing that obviously is it's implicit in that enabling resolution. But that's beyond the record in this particular case. But I don't think in the record in this particular case there is a specific legislative finding, if you will, that this is necessary for the loop track. But clearly, there are a number of references in response to my questions and even in response to Mrs. Hermeling's questions that this project is to facilitate the construction of that loop track. And let me visit 523.271 just briefly. As we pointed out, the statute says that it prohibits a taking solely for economic development, which, as we pointed out, was defined as an increase in tax base, tax revenues, employment, and general health. Obviously, this court has said on a number of occasions that the court should adopt the clear and unambiguous meaning of the statute. I would ask the court to address that term solely. Is this solely for purposes of constructing a tank farm? And I think clearly the record is replete with references to the fact.
Is anything going to be solely under your definition? Because you always build highways, build canals, build tracks in the hope that you always hope that highways and tracks and so forth will come. If you build a building, you hope they'll improve the street. I mean, things always have multiple purposes. Development always looks to future development. So I'm unclear when you would ever qualify solely for economic development, because a community certainly would hope that they would ultimately would lead to more schools or better schools or additional highways or whatever. If you built a new mall or if you built a new private project.
Okay, let me address that in two ways. If this court adopts the interpretation that Mr. Arnold wants the court to adopt, of 523-271, I would submit to you that there could never be a condemnation project that would pass muster in this court, for the simple reason that any worthwhile project, whether it be a school, a hospital, or any sort of facility, is going to have an ancillary purpose to improve the economic conditions in the community.
What was Kelo, and how do you think the legislature intended to limit the authority to condemn in light of Kelo? Wasn't that condemnation for purposes of a mall? And even though that would benefit the community in many ways, and the court said it was all right for that reason, economic development, after that the statute was enacted that said you can't do it solely for economic mm-hmm. development. What difference does that new statute make? What does it prohibit that wasn't prohibited before?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
So now that we've enacted this, now that the legislature has enacted a statute saying you cannot condemn solely for economic development mm-hmm. in light of Kelo, what is prohibited under this new statute that was enacted after Kelo that would have been permissible before? It seems like the statute made no difference. I understand the problems with both sides.
Yeah, I pointed out in my opening remarks, obviously if this were just a tank farm, an isolated incident where it was just a tank farm, I think that would be prohibited because clearly that's economic development. I think the fact that part and parcel of this project is the improvement of the transportation facilities.
And again, where is that in the record about the improvement of the transportation facilities? As more than a hope, but as part of the condemnation.
There's evidence from the executive director of the port, Mr. Overby, that the prospective tenant that is online and other tenants have committed to build the loop track.
And is this on their property, or there'll be other property condemned, or that's not in the record?
It is on their property. I'm not sure whether it's in the record or not, but in all candor, it's on their property that the loop track would be built. You mentioned the intention of the legislature, and let me just briefly see if I can address that. If you look at the prior version of this statute that was proposed by, it was a Senate substitute to the House substitute to House Bill 1944, that Senate substitute bill, the language that was put in the bill at that time was predominantly for economic development purposes. Now, this language was obviously rejected in the final version of the statute, and it's clear to me that what the legislature didn't want to get into was this weighing process with what's most important, and they choose the term, a term of art, solely for economic development, and that transportation clearly takes it out of that solely for economic development within the specific definition that's contained in the statute of increase of tax base, tax revenues, employment, general economic health. And again, I'd point out to you that if you adopt the version of the statute that Mr. Arnold would encourage you to adopt, virtually nothing can be condemned.
What about schools? I mean, somehow, maybe a school might be intending to teach you about Homer, the Iliad, the Dickens, which probably has no economic use whatsoever.
Well, but
or mathematics or calculus or algebra. So far, algebra has no economic use.
I understand.
You may find some dispute on that.
I understand, Your Honor, but I would point out that if you build a school, you employ people. That improves the general economic health of the community. You generally employ more people. So a byproduct of that building
a
school.
It's a byproduct, but you're trying, I assume you're trying to teach children, educate them in things that may have absolutely zero economic use whatsoever. Arts.
I understand, Your Honor, but my point is that Mr. Arnold.
So therefore, it wouldn't be solely for economic development.
So, go ahead.
Mr. Arnold's point here is that the transportation is going to improve economic conditions. It's going to encourage jobs, and for that reason, the condemnation is not permissive. My point is that if the court adopts that view, in your situation with a school, it may have laudatory purposes of teaching our children, which we all applaud, but that project would have as one of its byproducts improving economic conditions, improving employment, and doing all those things which Mr. Arnold would say would prohibit that project.
Getting back to public purpose, the Hahn case instructs us that we should give public purpose a broad and flexible definition.
I think that's correct, Your Honor.
And so with that definition in mind, or with that instruction in mind, mm-hmm. what are the public purposes of this project here?
Okay. In the limited time available, I will tell you that by improving the transportation facilities and reducing the transportation costs, that affects sellers of products who can get a higher price for their products because they can be shipped more economically.
But if this transportation, this railroad, will be privately owned, from what you're saying, it's going to be in private property?
No, Your Honor.
It would be publicly owned?
I'm not sure it's in the record, but it is the port's rail facility. They actually own the short line railroad.
So that's public?
Yes, sir.
I'm getting blurred here now between, you know, what's public purpose and what's economic development. Yeah. Can you help me out a little?
We're blurring the distinction between 523-271 and obviously the Article 1, Section 28, which is whether or not it is a public purpose. I would submit to the court that they dovetail here. I mean, the public purpose is that we're going to build a rail facility that may ultimately lower the...
Trying to get the sound feedback to get turned down here. Just a second.
I assume you want me to respond to the
question.
Please,
go on.
Notwithstanding the...
There we go.
I suspect that, you know, I would encourage the court, they dovetail here. The public purpose is building the rail facility, which is going to benefit shippers in the area, and as this court has instructed, it doesn't have to benefit the whole community. Any substantial number of people can be benefited. It benefits those people who sell grain at the port because they can get a higher price and because it can be transported cheaper. It may ultimately benefit those consumers who buy the products because freight is not as large a component. It not only benefits the shippers and receivers in the port directly, but it benefits anybody who can ship commodities through our public dock there in the port.
If the railroad were what was being the subject of this contract, I understand your argument, but I'm still unclear how we know on this record that railroad's going to be built and how that's part of this. Sort of a promise that in the future that there will be one. Does that justify this condemnation?
Again, I would encourage the court. I know you've reviewed the briefs and the record. Mr. Overby testified in no uncertain terms, which is uncontroverted in the record, that as part and parcel of the lease of the tank farm site, the loop track would be built, and that we have a prospective tenant that has agreed to build the loop track. There are other tenants that have agreed to participate in the construction of the loop track. It's not a situation where if they build it, you know, if you build it, they will come. There's no need for the tank farm without the loop track, and there's no need for the loop track without the tank farm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, I think you have to focus on the proposed use for the track that is to be taken. And it is conceded that the proposed use for the track that is to be taken is solely for a tank farm. Council used the word byproduct several times. This rail facility, however desirable it might be, is not the object of the taking. It is a byproduct of the erection of the tank farm on the property that is to be taken. And that is solely economic development. If you do not apply...
Would that track be public, though, and would that be a public benefit so it's not solely for economic development?
But the point is it's a byproduct of the taking. You have to focus on the tract of land. The railroad is not going to be built on the track that is proposed to be taken. That's exclusively a tank farm. That's exclusively economic development. Now, economic development, of course, is a good thing, but the legislature says it can't be the sole purpose for this taking, and that's all you have here. If you do not apply the statute to this taking purely for the purpose of the erection of a private tank farm, however desirable that may be on other grounds, and however beneficial the collateral consequences may be, if you don't apply the statute to this taking, it will never apply anywhere on earth.
What case law do you have that you look solely at the use of a particular track and not at the use of kind of a larger project, that one track might be used for one purpose and another track for another purpose? Don't you inherently have to look at the bigger picture and how this piece fits into a development?
If you approach the statute from that perspective, there is no case law interpreting the statute, okay? I say simply it is a matter of common sense. You look at the property, based on what the statute says, you look at the property that is to be taken and not the collateral consequences of some other property that is not to be taken.
So every tract that's taken would have to satisfy and be used for all the purposes. You can have one track taken that's used for one use and another track for another, and together they satisfy the requirements.
No part of this tract is proposed to be used for rail purposes. The rail purpose is a hoped-for consequence of the taking.
And
it is not the purpose.
It's more than that, though, that there was specific testimony that of a commitment to build the track if this was purchased. Is that...
If nothing is signed, and I don't think anything has been signed, then I don't think... However much of a moral commitment there may have been, there's certainly not a binding legal commitment. But again, I don't think that's the point. Even assuming arguendo that there were a signed contract here that required this unknown tenant to build the railroad, that wouldn't change the fact that the tract of land that is being condemned is not being condemned for railroad purposes. It's being condemned for a private tank farm. And again, if you don't apply the statute to this taking...
Because the railroad would not be built, or most of it would not be built on this tract, is your point.
Precisely. The taking is for a tank farm. It isn't for a railroad. And you know, if they did it the other way around, if they condemned the property to build a railroad, and then a tank farm came along as a consequence of that, I don't think the statute would apply. But that's not the way it works. They're taking the tract for a tank farm in the expectation, at best, that there'll be a railroad come along later.
So you're saying if, in fact, there was a signed commitment for a track, for the loop track, are you saying then that it would be permissible to condemn this property?
No, absolutely not. And the reason is because the track isn't going to be built on the property that is being taken. If they condemned the property in order to build a railroad, I concede that is...
So you're in effect saying if we say this is okay, you could let somebody condemn for a mall if they said, I'll build you a school across town. So
precisely.
So it's got a partial public purpose.
What if the loop track was already there?
I'm sorry?
What if the loop track was already there? If the loop track was already there.
Well, if the loop track were already there, if I understood counsel's argument correctly, there would be no need for the taking in the first place, because the objective...
Well, what if your client still wouldn't sell to them and they still had somebody who wanted to put in a tank farm?
Then plainly, if the rail line were already there, then it seems to me a taking purely for the purpose of a tank farm is purely for economic development.
Well, that's my point. What's the difference?
I'm sorry?
I guess that was my point, is what's the difference? Even if the track is already there, how does that really change your arguments?
I don't think it does. I think it strengthens my argument that this is a private rather than a public taking. But in terms of the statute, I don't think it matters. You have to focus on the tract that's being taken, and that tract is not being taken for railroad purposes. It's
so
being
you're
taken.
Saying that there could never be an interdependent project where some tracts are used for one purpose, such as construction of a track, and others that are essential and interdependent are used for a tank farm, which they claim the evidence supports. That could never be done.
You have to focus on the purpose for which the tract of land in question is being taken. And that purpose, according to the executive director, is economic development. Nothing more, nothing less.
If part of this tract were being taken to extend a public rail line, would that be a different situation?
I think that would be a different situation. That would not be solely for economic development. But that's not the case here.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Your Honor. As always, it's been a pleasure.
The case will be taken under submission.